should be in this place, this house. I love this church. It's like home to me. It's where I accepted my Lord and Savior into my heart. So it's very dear to me. And I love all you people. I'm glad to be here in front of you, being able to speak the word this morning. Glad that God called me here to just speak a few things this morning about of what I've learned and what he spoke to me about. First off this morning, I about forgot about it. I do have a joke I would like to mention. I just tend to find a joke here and there. And I just came across this one as Father's Day. It rightfully just come to me. If right is so. But it's called, the actual joke is Daddy's Side of the Family. It says here, a little girl asked her mom, "Mom, where do human beings come from?" The mother explained, "God created Adam and Eve, and from them, all of mankind grew." 2 days later, the girl asked her dad the same question. Her dad explained the theory of evolution, telling her humanity evolved from monkeys. Definitely got some confusion in the marriage there. Confused, the little girl went back and told her mom and asked and said, "Mom, how can you say God created us, and dad says we come from monkeys?" The mother smiled and replied, "Well, dear, it's simple. I was telling you about my side of my family, and your father was telling you about his." Yeah, I seen that. That's pretty funny right there. Just to be clear, we did not come from apes, by the way. We are all come from a God. He created us, okay? But anyway, I thought it was funny. This morning, if you will, take your Bibles, and we're going to be in two separate books this morning, but the first book we're going to be focused on is Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1. Again, just like this morning, I preached on Samson, a story that everybody knew. Everybody knows. Even lost people know who Samson is. And there's a lot of lost people out there who even know who Jesus is, but they don't truly know him as their personal Savior. They just know about him. And this morning, this isn't a Christmas message, but it is about the birth of Christ. But I'm going to be talking about a person who's mostly overlooked during the birth of Jesus. The person who, throughout the whole entire story of Jesus' life, is sometimes not talked much about of. And so we'll get into that this morning. But we'll start off in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou art son of David. Fear not to take unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived is of her the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." If you will, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Just a few chapters to your right. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. A little bit of reading here, but it's very important. It's very important that we hear it all. 41 through 52. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem," talking about Jesus' parents, talking about Mary and Joseph here, "went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old," talking about Jesus, "he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled their days, they returned. The child of Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they finally found him, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass," when they found him not, excuse me, "they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all they heard of him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor in God and man." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you again for another beautiful day it is to come out and worship and serve you. We thank you for all you do, Lord, most importantly for your Son. And as we just read, Lord, the birth of Jesus, Lord, that he is our Savior, that he is our risen Savior, Lord, that he came and lived a perfect, humble life and died on that cross of Calvary, Lord, shed his precious and innocent blood so we may have eternal life. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the hope of one day of accepting you and, Lord, having eternal salvation. We can't wait till that day, Lord, you come back and take us home. We're so excited, and we just thank you for all you do. Thank you for the people you brought here this morning, Lord. They're all here just not by just because, Lord. They're here because they want to hear something from you. They're not here by, you know, of whatever, Lord. They're here because they want to seek something from you. They're here to learn, and we thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, you just speak through me and that you may use me as a vessel, hide me behind the cross, and, Lord, just speak to the hearts of your people today. Keep us safe. Be with all those that are mentioned. I continue to pray for this church, Lord, and their quest and search for a pastor, Lord. You continue to grow this church, and bless the people that are in it. We just praise you and love you in the holy name that I do pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, my sermon is titled, The Man Who Raised the Son of God. The Man Who Raised the Son of God. We often overlook, people talk about, when we talk about Jesus' birth, we talk about, you know, how awesome it was, and which it was. It was a super great, amazing thing. But we talk about Mary. We talk about her a lot and how, you know, she birthed and carried Jesus through all this time. But a lot of times we overlook the man of the family. We overlook Joseph. Joseph, the man who got caught in a dream. Jesus, or God, came and told him these things. Joseph had a lot weighing on him. And a lot of times we just read through the story of Jesus and we sometimes forget, you know, Joseph. That he was an important man. He was the man who raised the Son of God. A very important man, and he started off at a very, you know, I guess you would say hard time in his life. I mean, I can just only imagine, and I don't want to get too far in my sermon and spoil some things, but I can just only imagine that, you know, through all this, he's with Mary, and then all of a sudden she becomes pregnant. Like, she was a virgin, she comes pregnant, and he's just like, you know, she's betrayed me. She's done off and done wrong things, and here am I, you know, I've been faithful to her, and then God comes to tell me, hey, it was me. Hey, it's. I can imagine everything that Joseph was just like, it probably was just like mind-blowing. But through all that, he stayed steady and faithful to God. Like, he, through all these things, we're going to see, as many points out to, like, this was a man of God, a man who raised the Son of God, who raised God in flesh himself, coming down to the earth and being Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. But again, we see that Mary was a clean, godly virgin, a woman. She was highly thought at. Highly thought woman to carry Jesus Christ. Out of all the women in the entire Bible God could have picked, he chose Mary. She was a very sought after woman. Although she shouldn't be worshipped like a lot of believings do, but she was a very sought after woman, a woman who is very important. But again, this morning I want to take a few seconds just closing on the man of the relationship, Joseph. I want to understand a little bit from his side. I think God was dealing with me some things through Joseph, and I just kind of wanted to share that with you this morning. Again, he didn't just choose a woman to look after Jesus. He chose a man to raise Jesus to help. And the story and point that I kind of want to make this morning is it takes very little to be a male. I mean, you just got to have the right chromosomes to be a male. And you can be a male. Any man or any, chromosomes with, they can be a male. But it takes a real man of God to be a true man, if you kind of understand what I'm saying this morning. Anybody can teach a kid or anybody can teach a kid to hunt, fish, or whatever, but it takes a true man to raise a godly kid or child. It takes a true man of God. And a matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 22, God looked among priests, prophets, all male, priests, prophets, princes, and people. Yet God says, I didn't sought after a priest or a prophet or a male. I didn't sought after a male. He says, I sought after a man, which means he sought after a man of God. He wanted a true man because, again, anybody can be a male and do anything in the entire world. They can accomplish everything. This male can have all the riches of the entire world, but he's not a true man unless he has God in his heart. Amen. This morning, I kind of want to sort out how Joseph was a true, godly man. Again, there are plenty of males in the world, plenty of males, but I truly seek you as being a male to be a true, godly man this morning. So, I can just imagine, again, the weight of Joseph. That's all his responsibility. He has so much on his plate. He's going through so much. Probably I couldn't even imagine everything he's going through because God essentially just says, I'm trusting you to raise my son. I'm trusting you, not just any king's son, not just any prophet of that time's son. I'm trusting you to raise God's son. Son of God, the light of the world. I'm trusting you in that. What a big responsibility that is to a guy who is just a carpenter, a guy who really didn't know much about life, just building houses. He built. And God says, I'm trusting you to raise my son. But I think the main thing through all of that, God didn't just look over the fact that any male could just build a house, because any male probably could. But he looked at the fact that Joseph sought after God. That he was a real man of God. I think that's why God chose Joseph to do so. But again, he was just a carpenter. I can imagine Joseph saying, how am I supposed to raise your son? But he did. He raised him, and he done a really great job. And some might say, well, Jesus really didn't even need any raising. That Jesus was God himself. Jesus knew everything. And while that may be so, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. What's amazing to me is that through all this, that even though God knew it all, when he came to be Jesus and he came in this earth, he knew everything from the start. He humbled himself down and allowed Joseph, which was a true man of God, to teach him some things. He humbled himself down to where Joseph could take, Joseph went out and they were at the Sabbath every day. They were at church. They went to the temple. They worshiped, and he followed, and he learned. Even though he knew all these things, he learned because, again, Joseph was a true man of God. He humbled himself down, and Jesus learned from Joseph, his own father. So even through Luke chapter 2, verse 40, we see that Jesus grows. And can't really explain how, an almighty God come to the world as the flesh of man and learn from Joseph, learn from a straight carpenter, but he did. That's just how, don't ask me how, that's just how wonderful and amazing our God is. He can do anything and everything he wants, and that's just awesome. He could do that, and it's amazing to me. But through all these books of Matthew and Luke, Joseph taught him. He taught him carpentry. He taught him synagogue customs. He taught him Jewish practices. And Jesus willingly submitted himself and obeyed Joseph in everything that he did. And again, I think that's why God chose Joseph. He wanted a man who could lead Jesus, into all these things. If he just chose some random male, which God knows what he's doing, he chose the right person, then any events that Joseph could do at any point in time could have been catastrophic. And I don't want to get too far in my message and give away anything. But we're going to see as we go throughout this book and through this message this morning that Joseph willingly obeyed God in everything that he was told to do. If he just obeyed God he just disobeyed God in one time, things and events could have been catastrophic. But he listened to God and he followed God. So this morning, I want to apply this to fathers and being Father's Day. This morning, fathers, you may not be raising baby Jesus. You may not have God as your baby. But your children ought to be able to look at you and say, that Joseph, he's like my daddy. My daddy's like that. My daddy cares about me like that. My dad carries me to church. My dad prays for me. My dad, I want to be like him. That's who he's like. Every children here should have that about their dad, that they care enough that you this morning should look after your children, take them to church, put them in the right perspective, just like this morning I spoke on. You have children that are looking up to you. They know that you're their hero, that you're everything to them. And this morning, you ought to act like it, act like a man of God, and have them in the right spot, in the right places this morning. So again, we're in a world like today where the world is so wicked and so corrupt that we need some spiritual raising. We need some spiritual fathers and mothers. Because there's not a lot of spiritual fathers and mothers out there anymore. I think a lot of fathers and mothers think it's just easy to not go to church, it's easy to sit around the house, or it's easy to go to the beach, or it's easy to do anything. And again, I don't want to get too far in my message, but I even experienced that some fathers and mothers, and I pray for them that's like, I'm sorry, it's true, but I'm sorry, but sports, whatever, hunting, anything, it's not more important than being on church Sunday morning. You got to have your kids in church. I don't care, when I have kids, I don't care if they're the best baseball player in the world. If they got practice on Sunday, their butt's not going to be at practice on Sunday. They're going to be here worshiping Jesus on Sunday morning. So this morning, I just pray that you're doing right for your kids, that you're getting them involved in church, because ultimately, at the end, I don't know about you, but even when I leave this world, like I told y'all this morning, I don't want to be remembered as a great race car driver or my dad was a great this, a great this. If anything, I want to be remembered that, my dad was a great spiritual leader and he brought me in church and this was a spiritual family. That's how I want to be remembered. Not success in the world, but success through Jesus Christ this morning. So again, fathers, you are responsible for aiming your children and even your wives because, even if we get into Proverbs, wives, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, be submissive to your wives. You're not just your children looking up to you, husbands and fathers, but also your wives are looking up to you. Every day they're seeking your guidance. Hey, I want to be in the right spot. I want to be where the Lord wants you. And it's your job to lead them in the right way through Jesus Christ. So you have more people than just your kids looking up to you. You may have friends or other family looking up to you. Again, fathers, you have a lot weighing on you this morning, a lot. I know, and it is a lot. Just like Joseph, he had a lot weighing on him, his whole family, seeking and wanting to know where to go. And they did that through Joseph and the man. That's just amazing to me. But my question is this morning, where are you aiming them? Where are you aiming your children? Towards sports, you know, money, worldly success, or are you aiming them towards God? Are you aiming towards eternity? I preach a lot in my past sermons always having the eternity in view, always looking towards the eternity, because eventually this world's going to pass away. Everything in this world is going to pass away. Just no matter how great you may be or your kid may be at sport or at anything of this in the world, it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. What will be enough is the long-lasting success of eternal life with Jesus Christ one day. And I'm so thankful towards that. So, again, because a male can teach hunting, a male can teach fishing, a male can teach any sports. A male can teach how to drive a stick shift, work, but a true man teaches their children how to walk with God. And sometimes fathers even can have their priorities in the wrong spot. Maybe sometimes fathers have their priorities with wanting success in their children's lives some other way. But if anything, again, I encourage you this morning that if you want to have your children or even your wife or anything to do in your life, people that are around you successful, that's leading them toward Jesus, so they need to see that Jesus is working inside of your life. And I encourage that a lot this morning. But a lot of these children don't really live for God. A lot of these children don't go to church. They don't follow the will of God. There's a lot of children who, again, looking up to parents who don't do any of these things. They're not taking their children to church. They're not praying to God. They're not doing these things. And so rightfully so, as I spoke this morning, their children don't know any better. They're going to follow their hero. They're going to follow where that person's going. So if you're not going to church, you're not being daily sought after God, how do you expect your children to live any different from you? It's not going to happen. They're going to follow that hero, that person. Because my Bible also says this, what shall profit a man if he gains the whole world but to lose his own soul? And what a sad thing that is, because there are a lot of people who think they've conquered the world, they've gained everything, only to hear the words one day, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. What a sad thing that is. But my point through all this is spiritual success will always be greater than worldly success in anything and every aspect. And this morning I want to point out three things about Joseph that as being a father today, we should strive to be like, and then I'll be done. I'll let y'all go. But three things this morning. My first point is that Joseph was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. We see this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, if you will turn there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. He was a righteous man. It says in chapter 19, it says, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. Being a just man, that also means being a righteous man. Meaning he was upright, he was righteous, he was godly. He walked with God in everything that he did. This morning, I don't know, we as fathers, or you as fathers, should be labeled as a just man. Not just doing right in everything you do. Not just helping an old lady walk across the street. Not just doing things that are right. But you ought to be a just man. You ought to be right with God. Living right with God. Being a real, true just man. Here Joseph was righteous. He was righteous in so many things. He was righteous in his conduct. He had every opportunity to act fleshly in this situation. When I say conduct, I mean, so after this, we keep reading, Joseph says not to be willing to make his wife, talking about Mary, a public example. He was minded to put her away. So Joseph, at any point in time, he was thinking about, you know, this Mary has done wrong. She's done wrong. I'm going to put her away. And God comes and talks to him and says, hey, you know, you need to, this is me. This is not anything of the world. This is not anything Mary done. This is me. And he acts on that. He obeys God and he's righteous in his conduct, because after that it says he knew her not until after Jesus was born. So through all that, you know, whenever he has friends or other things in the world living wickedly, doing things, acting pleasures, different things, he has his own wife who's pregnant, and yet he still, it says he knew her not until after Jesus was born. He was righteous in his conduct. He had a mission. He had first things first, and that was focus on God and what he wants from me. He had a mission. It was a true righteous conduct. Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, again, here it is. It says, and knew her not till he brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Joseph lived apparently in nine months of pregnancy with Mary, plus purification days, without any physical relations with Mary, any at all. He had respect enough not to, and main thing is he had a mission okay, God's first. I want to focus on everything that God wants for me, not dealing with anything else. So what does that mean? That means he has self-control, that he was focused on God's plan more than anything. I encourage you fathers this morning, are you focused on God's plan more than anything? We need to be focused. We need to be ready for anything God throws our way. I even speak to younger girls on this aspect, and boys, even young boys as well this morning, that don't look for someone who only expects physical pleasure out of you. They only expect physical things. And it's a very touchy subject, I know, but it's things that happen. There are kids, there are young people out there who are out there, and they're seeking so many worldly things that they're seeking attention, and they want just somebody to show them some attention, so they just settle for the boy who's only wants some physical relations, and then they just leave them. They get together a little bit and hook up for a couple of nights, and then it's over with. And then they get hurt and wonder, why am I not lovable? Why is I not somebody that somebody wants to love? Well, it's probably because you're out looking in different places for someone to love in your life and not finding them inside of church where they need to be. And we see that a lot. And again, I draw that back to the parents. It's like, you know, seek your children to look after somebody that's godly. Because they're never going to find love, they're never going to find a relation if they don't seek God first. They're constantly out, even when they're growing and they're my age and they're getting older, if they're constantly seeking out a good girl inside of a bar or inside of a club or whatever, it's not going to happen. You're never going to find that. Truly find if you're seeking God and find them on a church pew one Sunday morning, and then maybe God will turn things around for you and you'll feel like you're loved because you're searching in the right spot. So I encourage that this morning. I speak to those younger people. Rather looking for someone who values worldly aspects, someone who values God, purity, and put God first in everything that they do. So not only we see his righteous conduct through this, but we see he was righteous in his customs. He wasn't just righteous and, okay, I'm going to do the right thing, have a good conduct, stay focused on God first and everything else later, but he had righteous in his customs. Temples, presentations, Passover attendance, everything he'd done according to God's law. Back then they had certain laws they had to follow and do, a little bit different from now, but he'd done every single one of those laws that God was asked of him. He constantly was righteous in his conduct and the way he presented himself, and most importantly, in his customs. Everything that God asked of him, whether it was the law or whether it was just because God wanted him to do it, he did it. An amazing thing for that. I define customs as a lifestyle. It was their way of living. He lived a lifestyle for God. That every year Joseph made his time and he was at the Passover, that he worshiped every time that temple doors were open. This morning we can apply that to our lives, that you need to be in church every time these doors are open. Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, whatever it is. Instead of going to a ball game, instead of going, doing whatever that's of the world, be an example for your kids, for everybody and everybody around you, that, hey, I'm going to take my time, I'm going to put God first, and I'm going to be in church when these doors open and listen to what God has to tell me this morning. So with me growing up, I can apply this to my life. Church was never really a question. I didn't wake up every Sunday morning asking, well, I wonder if we're going to go to church today or not. Or no, that wasn't the case. We was going to church. I don't care if it was a drug addict where I was drugged to church. We were going to church, regardless of wherever that was. There may be some times here and there we might have missed, sickness or whatever, but you know, our custom was like, we're going to go to church. And we didn't really make that into a habit where we felt the need of we had to go to church. It was just, we wanted to serve God. We want to go to church and learn what God wants to do. So I pray this morning that, you know, maybe you have done that. Maybe you have got your child in church and they may have kind of gotten off. But, you know, again, I spoke this morning is, you know, the good thing we have is you train a child up in the way that he's supposed to and you won't depart from it. And you do your part as a parent. You do your part as a father of letting them see you in church. And if they go off and do whatever, it's okay. They're going to come back. And they're going to see what you wanted for them, how you truly cared for them. But they're going to see that. And you just keep doing that. You keep going to church. You keep praying. You keep being steadfast in the Word. Let your children see you pick up a Bible. Instead of picking up your phone and going scrolling on Facebook and seeing you do that, let them see you pick up your Bible. Let them see you, you know, get into the Word of God a little bit. And that'll encourage them. That'll help them grow. You know, they'll want to start doing that more. It all starts in the father figure of the home. Because fathers, your impact on your children's life and church life is enormous. I see here the custom that Joseph followed by being righteous, Jesus also learned from that custom. You say that Jesus is all-powerful and all-knowing, and yes, that is very true, but he humbled himself down to learn from Joseph, to say, okay, look, we're going to church. Okay, that's the right thing to do is go to church. Even though he knew that, he's God, he knows everything. He humbled himself down, submitted to his righteous father, and adopted it in Joseph and learned from everything that his righteous father did. What an amazing thing that is. So Joseph was righteous. He done everything that God wanted him to do. He went to the temple. He served. He followed God. And honestly, just accepting everything was even happening that was happening with Jesus and how, you know, the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary, all these things, that's righteous enough. But yet he continued to keep going to church. He continued to keep serving God. He continued to keep honoring God. And what an amazing thing how God knew that's my guy. That's my man. That's the man that I want to raise my son right there because he's righteous. Not only was he righteous, but point number two, Joseph was a very receptive man. He was a receptive man. It means he received everything that God told him. He didn't just, as I spoke this morning, he didn't just sit in church and let one thing go through one ear and then out the other. He was very receptive. That he listened and took in everything that God wanted. I think a lot of us times Christians, we come to church, maybe seeking for one thing. Maybe I'm hurting in this area, and we sit down and seek for that one thing, and that one thing wasn't mentioned, so therefore we just tune everything else out. And we don't really listen to what God's speaking to you about. So Joseph was a very receptive man. He understood everything. He wanted to learn. He wanted to listen when God spoke. And we should want to listen when God speaks to us. There were four times in these passages where God spoke to only Joseph alone. And through all those times, Joseph listened and obeyed. The first one was a dream. It says, take Mary as your wife. Joseph could have done everything he wanted. He could have just said, you know what, Lord, this is weird. This is not possible. There's no way that Mary could be pregnant. I don't know her. I knew her not. I don't understand. He could have said all those things. And even me, I think I would be in that same. I would be like, oh, I don't know now. Something about that don't sound right to me. But he didn't say that. He listened. He obeyed. He followed God's will. The second time, there was another dream. God speaks to Joseph and tells him to flee to Egypt because Herod wants to kill Jesus. Jesus was already born. He was being a baby. And Herod wanted to kill him. And at that point in time, Joseph the decisions that he makes could have been catastrophic. He could have just not listened. He said, you know what, Lord? I know a little more. I know a little more than you. It's fine. We're going to be fine right here. It's fine. And Herod could have killed baby Jesus. He could have. Things could have been catastrophic if Joseph didn't listen and obey God and wasn't receptive. The second time, or third time, he said, return back to Israel. Fourth time, he says, go to Nazareth. If Joseph didn't listen to God and say, go back to Nazareth, the prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled about Jesus being a Nazarene. So many things that Joseph done and could have obviously said no and disobeyed would have been catastrophic in the way that Jesus' life played out. But I think what the main thing about that is God knew that Joseph was righteous and he knew he wasn't going to do that. He knew that he was going to obey God. He knew that Joseph was going to take in all those things. So sometimes I kind of wonder today how many times fathers have maybe got something from God, listened to God, and kind of ignored it and pushed it off, and what may happen from that. What may have happened? What could have happened if you listened to God? What could have happened if you obeyed God? You know, so this morning, if God ever speaks to you, fathers, even mothers, if God ever speaks to you, be receptive. Listen to Him. And how do you know it from Him? You'll know. God says, I know my people by my voice. God will speak to you. God will know. And we're supposed to be receptive. We're supposed to understand, listen to God. Main thing is get in church and read your Bible, and you'll definitely hear from God. If you don't do any of those, and God just may not speak to you at all. But I encourage you this morning to get right with the Lord, and He'll speak to you. So if he chose not to obey him, Mary couldn't be the guy divorced. Joseph could have easily put away. He's just talking about putting away. Mary could have put her away, could have had a divorce, could have been catastrophic. Herod could have killed Jesus. Wouldn't have been a Nazareth. The prophecy wasn't fulfilled. So many things that would have been laying on Joseph's line. This morning, fathers, there's so many things laying on your line. There's a lot riding on you. Your children's life, your children's future is ultimately in your hands, and even mothers. Because it's your duty to raise your children to be who they're going to be. Whether that's going to be in church, whether that's going to be reading the Bible. Because, let me tell you something, if children think you value something over something more than the Word of God, they're obviously going to think, oh, okay, that's way more important. And they're not going to take it seriously. This morning we talked about taking things seriously. I encourage you to live your life just like you would in church, outside the church. We talked about it again this morning in Sunday school. You know, live the way. In church, you're sitting in the pew right now listening to God's Word, and you're being receptive, you're understanding, you're listening to the Word. Now, don't go out and then live like hell the rest of the week. You know, we need to take these things in, be obedient to God, be receptive and understanding of God, and then your children can see that. They say, okay, hey, you know, if my father or my mother is taking this very seriously, this must be important. This must be something that's worth doing. This ain't fake. This is some real stuff. So there was a lot riding on Joseph's obedience. James chapter 1, verse 22, one of my favorite verses, it says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Meaning, don't just come to church, listen to the word of God, that's good enough. I'm going to go home and take that in. No, actually listen to the word of God and then do it. Go out and actually do it. When you read your Bible and it says, no profane language shall come from thy mouth. Well, don't say, okay, yep, no profane language, I know that. Then go out Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and just cuss up a storm every day. You know, like, understand, learn these things. Don't just hear it, but be receptive. Be understanding of what these things mean. Now, we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes, and sometimes make something slip out every now and then. It happens. It happens. But that's where you ask for repentance and, again, move on. But this morning, there's a lot riding on fathers. Children's lives are, their life is often led by the father's decisions. A lot of times throughout these books, we see fathers making decisions over and over for their children, like Moses, or not Moses, but like Joseph making these decisions for Mary and Jesus. They see these decisions that are being made through their moves here and there. Like, I can imagine getting to Egypt and then getting settled down, like, we got everything we want, it's perfect, we're great. And then Joseph said, hey, I got a vision from God, we got to go somewhere else. Got to go, we got to leave, we got things happening, we got to go. And she could have said, man, really? We just got here, we just settled down, why don't we got to go? But she listened, she obeyed, she was receptive, because she knew that Joseph was being receptive of God's word. So I encourage you dads to read the word, to pay attention and seek God's guidance. We also see here that through all this that Mary followed Joseph everywhere. She trusted in him. She watched him. She obeyed him. And she seen his walk with God. You know, I think a lot of wives, there may be some wives in here, maybe not, but there may be some wives, and we see there's some wives in the world, that maybe they struggle to trust that leadership because that man figure, that father figure in their life is not really giving them something good to trust in. That maybe they're seeing countless times of in church that father coming to the altar saying they're going to get right with God, they're going to do the right thing, and then still consistently throughout the rest of the week do the wrong thing and not do God's will. And I don't want to harp on just fathers. It can be the same way with mothers. They're going to get right. You know what? I've messed up for the last time. It ain't going to happen again. I'm done drinking. I'm done doing this. I'm done whatever. We're going to get it right. And you may be good for the first couple of days, and you go right back to doing the same thing. Obviously, somebody's not going to trust that leadership within God, and you're not going to have that full trust through God. But Mary seen this trust through Joseph. She seen him day after day read the word, go to the temple, worship in the Passovers, do everything right according to God's will. So she had no obvious reason but to trust Joseph because she knew this was of God. There was no doubt that this was of God. She followed him everywhere because she honestly, truly knew that God was working something in his life. So that's earned through consistency, being repetitive and doing the right thing. My point is that families notice when a father is genuinely walking with God. Families will see when a father is walking with God. Again, this isn't fake stuff. This is real stuff. This is like, you know, it's so hard to really explain, but then again, it's very easy to explain that fathers, you just got so much with your children's lives. Like, they're seeing everything that you do, and it's going to be whether they take it serious or not. Their father is... Don't get me wrong, mothers are great. Like my mom, I love my mom. She's great. I love her to death. But I look up a lot to my dad. And when I see him doing good things and right things and staying focused with God, that encourages me to want to do that. Because, you know, we all, as young men, we strive to be like our fathers. You know, I want to be like my dad. You know, he's strong. He's like a superhero. We want to be like him. And a lot of children see that. Be it their father is hung out on drugs or their father is off doing something that ain't right with another woman. They're leaving their own mom. They're treating their mom disrespectful or they're not in church, not doing the right thing. And that crushes that child's superhero aspect of their father like to the point like, man, it hurts them. And then, again, that kid may end up being the same way. Am I not taking God seriously? Well, if my father does that, he's a man. He's a grown man. He's not doing it. I ain't got to do it. It's fine. I'll just throw it all away. You know, if he ain't worshiping God, that means I ain't got to worship God. And it's sad because that happens a lot. So Joseph was righteous. He was receptive. Be righteous this morning. Be receptive in God's word because, again, it lays out to your family, to your friends, to your wife. Understand and let God lead you. Be a guidance of a father. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6 kind of summed up. says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and he shall direct thee in thy paths. So if you trust in the Lord, allow him to work in your life, he's going to direct and lead you wherever that may be. And then your wife or kid has no reasons to doubt you because they see God and the fruits working inside of you. And this was an amazing thing here that Mary saw that. And so she chose to follow him. So this morning, not only was he righteous and receptive, but Joseph was also a remembered man. Remembrance. I don't know about you, but this morning, if I was to pass away again, I don't want to be remembered as some great figure who even could just have good public speaking skills, or even somebody who could just, oh, he was at Auburn. He was a good old project manager. He was a good old boy doing that. He done a good job. He could drive a race car now. Sometimes he wouldn't be that good, but he could do pretty good. That's not how I want to be remembered. This morning, if anything, you as fathers, and even me, want to be remembered as a good, godly man, a man who truly seeks after God, who listens to God's will, who's receptive, who's righteous, and lives for God, not just in worldly things, but in spiritual, amazing things. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1, verse 45. We're going to see how Joseph was remembered. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, and John's here towards the end. John chapter 1, verse 45. Chapter 1, verse 45. We see the calling of Philip and Nathanael. Chapter 1, verse 45. It says, "And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him," talking about Jesus, "whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So they had to throw that little in there. They had to throw that son of Joseph in there. Now, I wonder why they threw that in. They could just say, "We found Jesus of Nazareth. We found Jesus." But I think they threw that son of Joseph in there because they knew that Joseph was a very important figure in Jesus' life, that he was such a man of God that he needed to be remembered, that he was included, even at the very end. Philip identifies Jesus being the son of Joseph. Even in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, states out, "Is this not the carpenter's son?" Carpenter meaning Joseph. He points out again, Joseph was a remembered man. Now, a few words and a few verses may not mean much to you, but it's very, very powerful in the Bible. They're mentioned. There are many figures in the Bible that may be mentioned two or three times, but those figures have played a very important role in the Bible because they're mentioned in the Bible. That's why they wouldn't even be mentioned. So he was remembered because he was righteous and receptive and understanding of God's will in his life. So I encourage this morning to be remembered as not just some great worker of your job or a great powerful skill here. I'm thankful you have that skill, and I'm sure you are too. You're glad that God gave you that skill, whatever you may be good at, whatever you may think you may be remembered for. Good, you may be a good carpenter, you may be a good aviator, whatever. You may be good at fixing refrigerators, whatever it may be. You may be good at it. But I encourage this morning to not be remembered by just that. Be remembered as a good, godly man. A man that's centered around God, that led his family to church, that done everything right according to God's will. That's how we truly want to be remembered. So again, we see that years later, I'm assuming after this, that Joseph had done passed away. But years later, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, that people still associate Jesus with his father, Joseph. Not just because he was super rich, or not just because he was famous or powerful ruler, just because he was faithful. He was just a low carpenter. That's all. But he was a righteous man. And you can be a homeless man in the world today, but be a righteous man. You got everything that a rich man in this world will never have. You have the Savior in your heart. And there you have an eternal life one day. And there's nothing more remembered, and nothing more great about that. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says this, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children." And the greatest inheritance and the greatest remembrance of all isn't worldly things, isn't money. He wasn't talking about money in this verse. He wasn't talking about worldly items in this verse. He was talking about faith in Jesus Christ. He was talking about a good inheritance. That whenever you leave this world one day, maybe it's a long ways away, but whenever you do leave this world one day, that your son or your daughter, your friends, your family, your wife, father this morning, whatever you may leave, that you don't just leave a legacy of money or worldly things, but you leave a legacy of goodness and faith in God, that they can say, you know what, my dad was a lot of things. Great man, good carpenter. He could do all these things. He was good. He could fix refrigerator when it broke. He's good at that. He could do anything. But I pray that they remember most importantly that you serve God every day, that you was in church, that you were listening, you were receptive, you were righteous, because that's how they truly want to remember you. That's how I want to remember my dad. Not as a great dirt track driver, but as a true godly man who feared God, who loved God, and associated everything he'd done. So, fathers, again, I encourage you, how do you want to be remembered? Be remembered through God. Maybe being wealthy or successful, popular, but we should be remembered as righteous and faithful and receptive of God's work and consistent. Through all this, Lord, consistency is the main thing. You can't just be receptive and righteous one day and the next day, you know, I don't think I'm going to listen to God today and disobey. Be consistent in your work. Be consistent through God's will. In closing this morning, I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And if you will, you can turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. This is some very important verse here. It speaks to me a lot because, again, Jesus wants us to follow him daily and to go towards him and seek him and want to learn more from him. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even though as I am of Christ." So we're encouraged here to just follow Christ every day. Joseph lived such a way that Jesus could follow his own earthly example while Joseph himself followed God. So I encourage you that if Jesus himself could, God himself could come down and take on man in the flesh and become Jesus Christ. And it's hard to explain that for those that may not know, but for those that do, it's an amazing thing. And that he could do that and humble himself to a father who lived righteous now. If he could do that, fathers, it must be very important to be a good example for your kid. Because I think Jesus is showing that. Jesus is showing that through Joseph that we miss sometimes when we read the story too quick. Oh, it's all about Jesus. That's great. It is. It is all about Jesus. But we miss the fact that God entrusted a very righteous man of God to raise his son. And he'd done that so willingly. And so that's why it's very important for us as generations to come, when I become a father, our fathers in here, to raise your children in a way that's right for God. Even mothers, right? There's a lot of kids out there who may not even have fathers. And therefore, that father role comes on the mother to be the mother and the father. Like, they got to do it all. And so it's encouraging to them as well. It's like, you know, follow God. Live for Jesus in everything that you do. And Joseph done that. We see that. So if a little question this morning that I have, just kind of apply it to your hearts and ask yourself this question, that if your children this morning copied your prayer life, they copied everything you did, they copied your attendance, your church attendance, your Bible reading, your walk, everything you did exactly like you're doing today, exactly like you're doing in your life, would they be closer to Christ or would they be farther away? Everything that you're doing, your children is seeing that and want to be reflected of that. And everything that you're doing, if they were to do that same thing and be in your role, would they be closer or farther away? And it truly is a question to ask yourself. And if the answer is farther away, there's some things we need to get right with God. There's some things that we need to get back on track with God on that they've messed out on. Because a real man is not merely someone who just works hard, who hunts, fishes, or succeeds in their life, works hard for things. That's a great thing, to work hard for your family, supply, have everything that your family needs, and make sure that your kids and your wife have food on their plate every day, every night. That's a great thing. But the main thing is to make sure they're getting fed by the Word of God and getting fed by true spiritual food. A real man is someone who consistently walks with God every day, obeying, understanding, and letting his family be led to Christ through it all. So this morning, as I kind of repeat my title again, a man who raised the Son of God. What an awesome thing that is. Although a lot of you followers this morning may not be raising the true Son of God, that is Jesus, but you're still raising precious cargo. You're still raising the future generations to come. You never know, your kid might be the next pastor. Your kid might need the next speaker. Your kid might be, I don't know, the next famous person in the world of speaking in God's Word, whoever that may be. But your kid and everything is in your hands this morning. And so it's very important that we do the right thing, you as fathers. So let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you again for everything you do. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I thank you for the fathers that are here this morning. Lord, they could be anywhere else doing anything else. They could be riding dirt roads. They could be out hunting. They could be out, you know, fishing. They could be out doing whatever they want to. But Lord, they're here serving you because they're here looking for something. They're here looking for you. They're here seeking you because they want the people that are watching them to know that they're close to you. And they want to have that personal relationship with you, Lord, because this stuff is not fake. It's not funny. It's not entertaining, but this is the real stuff. This is what will send you to an eternity of everlasting joyness with you, or just terrible damnation of fire that is hell, Lord, and we don't want that. So, Lord, we just thank you and praise you again for the people you brought here, Lord. Again, I pray for this church. Pray for their seeking, Lord, that they would continue to trust in you and everything they do, and just keep them all safe as they come back the next point of time. We ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.